Holy Spirit, will you empower us in this season to value what you value, Lord? Empower your sons and daughters of this house, Lord, to live from your truth, not to be distracted or live from the lies of the enemy, Lord. Today, will you expose every lie of the enemy? Lord, as we are gathered here together, we gather as your bride. And we ask you, God, that you would adorn your bride with your truth today. Remove every garment of lies and adorn us, Lord, with your truth, God. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Not working?
I feel like I hear myself. No? Yes?
Oh, there you go.
Some of you are like, it's wrong. Come on. It's okay. All is well. All right, open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 12. This is part two. Remember the sermon Benjamin preached after Miki and Krista's wedding? And the whole sermon was about Miki and Krista? This is part two, Krista. Miki and Krista are back! Yay! Ezekiel 47, verse 12, and Exodus 23, 3. So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 12. And can I tell you in advance, before you read, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Release the spirit of offense. Receive the truth. You are loved. You are accepted. Amen. All right. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 12, it says, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit. Everybody say bear fruit. Every month, because, I'll underline this, guys, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food and their leaves for medicine. I want you to ask your neighbor, does your water flow from the sanctuary? Exodus 23, verse 3, I'll just read this for you if you can't get there fast enough. Exodus 23:3. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath. Everybody say day of Sabbath.
Day of Sabbath.
A day of Sabbath rest. A day of sacred assembly. Everybody say assembly. You are not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. Okay? God's been really speaking to me about Sunday worship and how lately in this generation, value for Sunday worship are diminishing. Have you noticed that? I mean, in our Father's Day, I mean, like, they're on the left side, you know? Like, on Sunday, even if they have to take important tests, they won't take it. Like, if you get sick, they don't want to go to the hospital. Like, they're too bound by, it's Sunday, it belongs to God, and they're too bound, right? But then, now, on the other side, it's like, we're free. I believe in Jesus. You know, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus, do I really need to go to church every Sunday? It's like, let me just turn on the TV and just pray on my bed. I'm loved and accepted. Right? But I feel like, can we ask God, what are your thoughts? Forget about what the generations before and forget about, you know, our struggles, our thoughts. God, what do you think about this? What do you think about Sunday worship? What do you think about the Sabbath? What? We want to know what you think. And we want to value the way you value. Can you join me in that? Can you ask God in that? God's been speaking to me about this. Whatever. Everybody say whatever. Whomever. Say whomever. Okay. Whatever or with whomever you agree with, you strengthen that person or that. Okay. Now, like I prayed earlier, I want to expose some lies of the enemy. Okay. You want to do that? Okay. We must recognize, expose, and reject some lies of the enemy about Sunday. Okay. Number one. I'm too tired to go to church. Do you know how many hours I worked? I'm still gonna love. Jesus is in my heart still. I'm too tired. Number two, I have too much to do. If I go, oh my goodness, everything will fall apart. I have too much to do. Number three, I don't have time. I don't have time. I barely have time for my family. Number four, I need to rest. Sabbath is about resting. So, you know, sometimes when I go to church, it's work. They make you raise your hands and stand up and sit down. It's too much work. I need to rest. I need to honor God's heart and rest on Sundays. I don't have energy today. No one will notice anyway. I don't like church. I don't want to go to church. Is it really necessary? I believe in God. Isn't that enough? It's too hard. It's too hard to be part of that church. I think I need to leave. I need to find another church. Something is wrong about that church. Nothing goes right. I'm not getting fed. I'm not getting what I need. Me. I'm too tired. Right? Come on. Let's be real. Can I be real with you? Sometimes I hear those lies. Sometimes I just want to stay in bed and not go to church. Me, pastor, I do feel that sometimes. Do I listen to it? No. You get to, but I don't get to. I hear those lies too. The enemy speaks lies. Something's wrong. Nothing's going right. Everything's falling apart. And if you really sit down and write down what's really going wrong, there's nothing. Yeah. You know, I'm struggling. What are you struggling about? You know, just, I don't, you know, it's so hard. What's so hard? What happened? You know, like people, you know, people what? You know, like, you know, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, no, what are you saying? What's wrong? Everything's wrong. Okay, tell me one by one. Let's write it down. What's wrong? The lies of the enemy. And once you agree with that lie, you give strength to that lie. Amen. And you feel it. And now you're like, hey, I'm being real. I'm being real. I only slept 1 hour last night. I'm tired. Does God really need me to go to church when I'm so tired? Once you agree with the lie of the enemy, it strengthens that lie, and it gives more power over your physical body, over your family, over your situations. And then he gives you these demonic suggestions. Don't go to church today. Right, just listen to the podcast. It's time for another church. And this is not just for Living Hope, it's for all the churches. Yeah. Right. All the churches struggle. Even Bethel people struggle with these lies. Okay? It's about personal relationship with God, so you don't need to go to church all the time. They're hypocrites anyway. Every time you agree, you give strength. And then, all of a sudden, you know, those that used to be so fired up for God start to ask, is God really real? Is he really real? I don't think I believe in God. Forget about the God and church stuff. I've seen that over and over and over again. Today, I want us to see why. Everybody say why.
Why
the enemy is so busy speaking these lies to God's people. Okay? One thing God's also been speaking to me, right? Is that when you are alone, you're a child of God. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm a child of God. And as a child of God, you are enough.
Yeah.
Tell yourself, you are enough. You are precious. You are worthy. And as a child of God, you receive the benefits of being a child of God. There are experiences that you and I experience as a child of God. However, when we gather together, on the other hand, when you come to assembly, when you come to church on Sunday, you walk in, you come out of that being a child of God into we become the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. And as a bride of Christ, we have an access to another realm of faith, another realm of experiences and encounters that we get to have with God.
Amen.
But on your own, as a child of God in your bedroom, you cannot access the experiences and the encounters that you can get as a bride of Christ.
Amen.
As a child, you are unconditionally loved. You are taken care by your parents, right? And even if I make Aletheia do little things, guess what? It's not to help me. It's not for me. It's for her benefit. It's to teach her. It's for her. As a child of God, your experience is all for me. For God to heal me. For God to bless me. For God to break through on behalf of me. And that's not bad. Because that's who we are. Right? But when you gather together as a bride of Christ, you partake. You no longer just sit and receive. You arise. And you get to partake in bringing fruitfulness in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You know, when Benjamin preached a few weeks ago about Miki and Krista, and how when he said, here comes the bride, right? Everybody stand up for the bride. How when Krista was revealed, the atmosphere changed. And remember, he talked about when the bride identifies herself as a bride. The bride prepares herself, adorns herself, right? And enters the room. And when the bride identifies herself as a bride, adorns and prepares herself as a bride, and as a bride enters the room, it changes the atmosphere. Why? Because the groom looks at the bride and is ravished by that. What? Even now, Jesus is looking at us as one. Beautiful. My bride. My bride. Remember how Benjamin talked about, however, the church, we don't identify ourselves as brides, and so therefore we don't prepare. We don't adorn ourselves as bride. I bet you Krista did not go clubbing the night before her wedding. I bet you she did not go to a bar to hang out with her friends. I bet you, even days before, she told me that she went to Korean jjimjilbang, right? To get scrubbed and soaked, right? You prepare yourself in days in advance to be the bride, to change the atmosphere. But how often do you prepare yourself as a bride? How often on Saturday do you prepare yourself to be the bride? How often do you want to change the atmosphere? You must first identify yourself as a bride.
Yes.
But as a bride,
what did Benjamin say? You don't continually pursue bridegroom, becoming a bride. You're already a bride. But as a bride, we pursue what? Fruitfulness.
Yeah.
Fruitfulness. But as a bride, if you don't gather as a bride, it's like husband and wives never being intimate but waiting to get pregnant. No, you gotta do the thing. Hello? Hello? As a bride, we gotta do our thing, guys. Look at Ezekiel 47:12. This really blessed my heart. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 47, God takes Ezekiel, right, in a vision. And there's the sanctuary, the temple of God. And the water is coming out of the sanctuary, right? And then it goes and it flows knee, waist, and then it overflows. And along that river, on this side and that side, it says in verse 12, right, grows all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food and their leaves for medicine. Every Sunday, you know what you're doing when you come? You are allowing your water. Water represents lifeline. Without water, you die. You can live longer without food, but you can't live without water. Water represents lifeline. Where is the source of your life flowing from? Is it your plan and business and what you want to do? Like a chicken with the head cut off, running around, wanting this and wanting that, struggling? But is it? We come on Sundays as a bride. We come to the sanctuary so that we get our source of life, that our water flows from the sanctuary. And as the water flows from the sanctuary, it's like automatic fruitfulness. You bear fruit, not only for you and your family, but people around you could spiritually eat from your fruit. Man. And leaves for healing. When you're a bride and your water flows from the sanctuary, you, throughout the week, you have leaves for healing.
Yeah.
Your coworkers, your family members need healing, you have the leaves. That is why. Everybody say, that is why. This is why the enemy continually speaks lies to you and me individually. Don't go to church today. You know what? He's cutting the life source. Get your source from somewhere else today. This week. If the enemy speaks, don't go to church. It's not just, oh, you know, we're not religious. We have Jesus in our heart. You know what he's doing? He's cutting your water source that comes from the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Hear me out. Sometimes, I remember when I first had Aletheia, it's easier to stay home because of their like sleeping patterns and eating patterns, especially if their service is at night. And to make it easier, sometimes in the beginning, I was tempted to stay home. You know, but I realized that I'm teaching Aletheia, your life source doesn't come from God's house. We're teaching her. And I remember, I think to Alicia and Chinwe, I remember when our babies were like few months old, we made a pact. Remember that? We said, you know what? Let's not do that. Let's not raise our children outside of the house of God. Let's teach our children that even though it's going to take us 3-4 days to get their sleeping right after that Thursday night, right? Remember, is it Rick Joyner that wrote Final Quest,
yeah.
Right? His vision. And I read it so long ago, but I remember when he saw the army of God, the bride of Christ, marching, and they had the long sword, and the enemy was coming, and he thought, oh, they have all this, just fight them. But then he was shocked, because instead of fighting the enemy, the people of God started to hurt each other. Let me say this to you. When you listen to the lie of the enemy about this house, you know what you're doing? You're using your sword to harm the bride. We need to fight together against the enemy, but not harm the bride. So the Lord's Day, okay? So we got that right? Sanctuary, our water, our lifeline must flow from the sanctuary. You got that, right? And then, you will bear fruit every month, right? Your leaves will not wither. You got that, right? You know that it's important that you come to the sanctuary, the house of God. You got that, right? Yeah. So let's talk about, this thing that people talk about, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath. Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Is it Monday for pastors now? The Sabbath, okay? Sundays, okay? Let's talk about that a little bit. Can we do that? Yeah. Exodus 23:3, right? We read, there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. Three things you can find in the scripture. Number one, a day of rest. Okay? On the Sabbath, you need to rest. Got that?
Yep.
Number two, it's a day of sacred assembly. Everyone say sacred assembly. You know what that means? Assembly means gathering together. So if you think rest and assembly don't go together, you just listen to the lies of the enemy. And you've been living from the lie. Okay? Number three, you are not to do any work. Let's keep those three things in mind. And then don't fall asleep, because I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures about the Sabbath. Okay? Okay, focus. You got, engage your mind and your heart. You got it? Come on, wake yourself up. Come on, focus. Leviticus chapter 26:2. This is God, okay? Not Pastor Sonny, okay? This is God. Leviticus 26:2. You shall keep my Sabbath. Everywhere say, keep my Sabbath.
Keep my Sabbath.
And reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. When you keep the Sabbath, you are revering. You are honoring God's sanctuary. Leviticus 24 verse 8. Okay, don't fall asleep. Focus. Leviticus 24 8. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually. Everybody say continually. Being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. Keep the Sabbath continually, the Bible says, before the Lord as an everlasting covenant. Not in the Old Testament only. Not in the New Testament while the, the apostles were alive. Continually. Everlasting. You got that?
Amen.
Okay. Next. Focus. Isaiah 58:13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Say a delight. The holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Okay? From here, call the Sabbath a delight. Okay, come on. Leaders, is it really a delight to you, or is it so much work? I have to wake up early to, pack and set up. Is it really a delight? If it's not a delight, you have listened to the lie and you have strengthened that lie through your agreement. It's a delight, okay? Number two, he says, you honor God by three things. Number one, not doing your own ways, right? Your own thinking says, I should do this, this, this. But on Sundays, you release that, you surrender that. You know what you're doing? You're honoring God. Number two, not finding your own pleasure. I just need some Netflix times on Sunday. Is that too much to ask? You are pursuing your own pleasure. Do it on Friday night. Don't even do it on Saturday night. You know why? Then you're not preparing. Right? You don't want to be a bride on sweats, no makeup, hair all messy, coming to your wedding? No way. You got to prepare on Saturdays. I want to challenge Living Hope members to prepare for the Sabbath. Have fun on Friday, but prepare on Saturday and enjoy. Make Sunday your delight. And number three, not speaking your own words. Don't we do that? I don't want to. Nobody cares. It's all your words. Amen. When you come to his house, you're hearing his words. Are you focused? Yeah. Are you still engaged? Yeah. I'm going to give you some more scriptures, okay? Yeah. Write it down. Go home and read it. Don't let me think for you. Write it down. Go home. Read it. Think for yourself. I heard T.D. Jakes say earlier that ignorance is a learned behavior. Don't think. Don't just accept. Think. But don't just think negatively and accept negativity. Open the Bible. Ask God. What are your thoughts? Ezekiel 20 verse 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath. God gave us. Okay? To be a sign between them and me that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. You guys, guess what? Sabbath is a gift from God. It's not a work that he's demanding from you. It's a gift from God. As a sign. Everybody say, as a sign. Between him and us, that we may know that he is the one who sanctifies us. Man, you don't come to church on Sunday. You're allowing the lies of the enemy to corrupt you little by little. But when you come as a bride, the water from the sanctuary, it cleanses you from all those lies. You know, I've been meeting with a lot of people lately. You know, I have to give up that. I'm going through perimenopause. So I'm not going to meet with a lot of people. I have to give that up. Like, I've been meeting with a lot of people. But you know what I realized? You know what I've been doing? Re-preaching the Sunday words to them. Every time they share something, oh my goodness, the answer was 2 Sundays ago. Oh my goodness, your breakthrough revelation was 4 Sundays ago. Oh my goodness. It's like I'm re-preaching what Benjamin preached or who Daniel, I'm re-preaching. All you have to do is just come. And every week you're cleansed in his words and you get to start, right? Yeah. And you skip a Sunday, another Sunday, more poison, more lies. And no wonder you don't want to read your Bible anymore. No wonder, you know, your husband is getting on your nerves. And no. Mark 2:27. Let's look at New Testament. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. I've heard so many people use this as an excuse. He made it for me. So let me just rest. But Mark 2:28, okay, right after 2:27, it says, therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. Who do you go to? To the Lord of that day. Not to your own throne, but to the Lord of the Sabbath. Luke 13:16. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Guess what? When you come to church on Sunday and honor God and make Sunday a delight, guess what? Bondages get broken. So many people live like this. They're bound, even though they're free and they're child of this lie and that lie. Just come. On Sundays, the bondages are broken, right? Okay, where am I? All right. Acts 13:44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Even in New Testament, cities together came on every Sabbath to hear the word of God. Word of God. Everyone say, word of God. Acts 15:21. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in synagogues on every Sabbath. Okay? Acts 16:13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city, to the riverside, where prayer was commonly made, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there. Wherever Apostle Paul went, he looked for a synagogue. There's no building. Where are the believers? Oh, they're meeting by the water. Wherever, you know, vacations. I've been saying this to you. Go on a vacation. Find the house of God. Oh, it's my vacation. You want the life source of your vacation to be your flesh? Or do you want the water to flow from the sanctuary? Let me say this. Rest. True rest does not come from absence of work. Try staying home and not do anything for 2 weeks. It's tormenting. It's torturous. Huh? True rest comes from His presence. Where is Joshua Chang? He was supposed to be here. I was FaceTiming him the other day. Oh, he's still driving. I was FaceTiming the other day, and he was like, you know, so many things were on his mind. And he got to this place, and this Korean ajumma, this lady, was in trouble, and he got to really minister to her and help her, and he felt so strengthened. When you are flowing, when the water from the sanctuary is flowing through you, and you are doing the will of God and the work of God, you get refreshed. You get refreshed. That's where you find your true rest. Amen. Some of us then, why aren't we experiencing rest after Sunday? Right? Especially those that are serving on Sunday, you go home. Benjamin and I used to be like this. After Sunday service, we're just, like, we had Chinwa and Daryl over like 12 years ago after one Sunday service. And like, you know, they were watching, what was it? Living Color. Yeah, Living Color or something like that. Like, you know, Benjamin, right? And like, Benjamin, here, look at this, and right? And then as Daira and Chinua were like looking and laughing, and they looked over and we were like, and they're like, should we go home? What should we do this? Why do we not experience rest? It's the mindset. What did Jews do? They had a preparation day, the day before the Sabbath. They cook everything so they don't have to cook on Sunday, right, on their Sabbath. They prepare in advance so that the Sunday could be a rest, right? Like, what's his name from New Philly? The black one? Marcus. Okay, take this out because they're going to listen to this. Marcus actually preached on this, like, at the retreat, right? The preparation. You know why you don't find rest? Because if you work without, he used it as preparation. Without rest is slavery, right? And so he talked about how we need to prepare. And I was challenged too. As pastors, I think we need to challenge ourselves. Instead of working till late Saturday night and then, you know, wake up Sunday morning to do the last, you know, preparation and get freaked out and then you have to go to a meeting and then no wonder you don't feel rested. Or even if you're not a leader, you know, go to this, you know, gathering and go to this and go to a movie at midnight, you young people, right? Do that on Friday night. But I feel like I've been really challenged to prepare. You know, even offering, you know, and I'm guilty at this too. You know, you forget about it until the guy says, okay, let's pray for offering. Oh, shoot, where's my checkbook? But to prepare in advance, you know? Like, prepare in advance. Like, get the clean bills out, you know? Instead of
writing it really nicely because it's unto God. If you're writing a check, I mean, preparing. When you prepare, it becomes a rest. God rested on the seventh day. And this is from T.D. Jakes. I'm telling you where I got this from so you don't think I got it all by myself, right? This is what T.D. Jakes said. God worked 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. But to God, the seventh day rest wasn't a break. Okay, I work. Oh, I need to take a break. And he did not go back to work the next day. His rest was his declaration, it is finished. It's once you enter into God's rest, you rest. When you really understand this, when you come on Sundays, you enter into his rest, then Monday through Saturday, you're not working and needing a break, but from the place of rest, you become fruitful. But the scripture also says, you know what broke that rest? Sin. Adam and Eve had perfect communion and fellowship with God. Taking a walk with God. Man, how awesome would that be, you know? And they sinned and it broke. A lot of times, the enemy wants to break. He wants to distract you and take you out of the rest. You see that? Let's try it again. He wants you to take you to this where you're confused. Huh? I was trying to use it for, but oh well, didn't work. Seriously though, anything that's not out of faith is sin. I remember a few, not all night churches ago, right? All night prayer ago. I think you said, we need to keep the Sabbath. We can rest one day. Because our resting in God and honoring God on Sunday shows our trust in God. And what God can do for us is much greater than what we can do for ourselves. Yes. Did I get that right? I think so. Right? Sin breaks your rest. Not, oh, the culture of the church is too... No. Has nothing to do about the structure or the system of the church. It's the mindset. It's sin. It's the lies of the enemy. Anything that you agree with, you strengthen and give power to dominate. Even Ten Commandments, he put, keep the Sabbath. It's part of the Ten Commandments. We must live from the truth and not lies. Every time I think about that, I know I said this before, but I'll probably say it until I die. Many years ago, I remember Joe O, David's brother, came to our house and said, "You know what? Oh my goodness, I've been believing this lie. I felt like I needed to pray, but then like this dread came over and like, oh, I'm so tired though." And then I realized, wait, that means I'm believing that praying, right? It sucks life out of me. It's tiring. Is prayer, did God really make praying tiring? That's a lie. And he said, he got up. It's a lie. No, if I pray, if I seek the face of God, I'm going to be strengthened. I'm going to be refreshed. And then he said he prayed and he was revived. And I was like, that's so true. How often do we believe the lies of the enemy and we think Sunday is a dread? Or we think going to community group is a dread. The gathering. Every time we gather, we are adorning the bride of Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. We got to pray. We got to believe and pray. That's a new word. I declare, pray means believe and pray. Okay? We got to believe and pray that prayer strengthens us. We got to believe and pray that Sunday worship catapults us into another level of faith. Yeah. That Sunday service is a delight. Amen. It's God's delight and it's our delight. That the praise, it's the presence of God that gives me rest, that gives me strength, that gives me restoration. You know what that means? That means you and I, we must renew our mind.
Yeah.
We can't just subject, submit, and accept those lies. Recently, Chris Valentin said this. See, I listen to a lot of sermons. Chris Valentin said this. He said, if you renew your mind right now, you could change your life. Right now. If you choose to change your mind, renew your mind, you could change your life. Change happens. And this is what he said. It's not what you want, but it is what you will that changes. How do you renew your mind? You can't be hanging around with people who speak lies.
Amen.
I don't want to go to church. Me too. I think we should go to San Diego for the weekend. Yeah. Okay, I'm not looking at anybody. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But this is what he said. Find people who are stronger than you. Hear the words. You know what I mean? You know what I did last night? I was hearing these lies, and I said, I just got to replace it with the truth.
Yeah.
I've been here this week. I heard a lot about people struggling, right? So I said, well, let me hear something else. So I put it on Facebook, right? Okay, Living Hopers, tell me what you are thankful for about this church. Tell me the power for it. Oh, we are never helpless or hopeless.
Yeah.
And this is what Chris Valentin said. You need to learn. You know how you keep renewing your mind? You need to learn how to cultivate this ecosystem inside that dominates outside. Because so many of us, we live by this outer ecosystem of the lies of the enemy that dominates our inside. And he says, whatever you cultivate, it dominates. You're going to cultivate lies, it's going to dominate your life. But if you cultivate the truth and you create, you create and you right? Cultivate that inward ecosystem where you hold on to the truth. I don't care your, I don't care what you feel, but you can hold on to the truth.
Amen.
I don't care if Jimmy and Emily went to watch a movie that I wanted to watch and they knew I wanted to go with them and they went without me. Even in that moment. I'm not going to cultivate the lie that says, they don't like me. I need to find another group of friends. But even in that moment, I'm going to cultivate the truth. Oh, man, they were so excited they forgot to call me. We're going to cultivate the truth. Not, I don't fit in. I don't fit in because all these Asian young people, I don't fit in. All these older black people, I don't fit. No! Stop cultivating the lies of the enemy! But cultivate the truth! Look around! Young, old, black, Asian, white, we're beautiful! You have the power to cultivate the inner ecosystem. How? Renewing your mind and cultivating the truth.
Yeah.
I'm going to end with this. There's way too much more. Come to the community group. I'll give you the rest. I want you to stand up. The truth is, you are the bride. When I say you, all of us together, you are the bride. We are the bride. But how often do you strip this bride from the truth? I don't have an altar call for you prepared where I'm not going to ask you guys if you've been struggling about this, how it's come. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to give you homework. You like homework? Cultivate the truth! You love homework! It's a delight! Every time you struggle and you think it has nothing to do with pastors or leaders or other members, it's just me. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel fit in. When you struggle about this house, you know what you're doing? You are agreeing with the lies of the enemy, and you are strengthening that lie, and you are allowing that lie to harm the bride of Christ. Still beautiful. I'm just happy he's back. He's back. But listen, can we do this? First, can you repent? I repent. Sometimes the enemy makes me feel like Chinwe is not on my side. And I'm like, man, how could she do that after all these years? In that moment of negativity, negative thinking, guess what I just did? I just clothed the bride of Christ with the lie of the enemy. And I strengthened that lie to dominate over this house. It's time for us to adorn this bride of Christ with the truth. So you ready for your homework? So you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Look into my eyes. For next 1 week, from this moment on till next Sunday, can you promise me that you're going to adorn this bride with the truth? You know how you're going to do that? You're not going to allow any negative thinking about yourself, about your brother, about this church. Oh, they're saying the same thing. Stop. I heard that before. Stop. Yes. Now, you know, I'm asking for us to fast. But this fast, during this fast, you could eat whatever you want. That's the best fast. But you need to fast from negativity. Negative thinking. You need to fast from complaining about your spouse. She never cooks for me. But guess what? She goes to work and bring in some money. Stop complaining about your husband. He never massages me anymore. But guess what? He works hard so you could go get a foot massage. Did I just reveal Benjamin and I to you guys? Can you fast from complaining? Even if you complain about yourself, you're harming the bride. When you're judging, or when you're hurt and you're offended by another sister, you're harming the bride. But when you fast and you fail, don't you just, oh well, I fell, and you start eating. No, don't do that. Okay? You may find your mind thinking, what is wrong with Krista? In that moment, don't say, oh, too late now. Okay, I don't have to fast anymore. No. In that moment, take it back. Yeah. No. I love Krista. She's the most beautiful bride I've ever seen. In that moment, oh my God, community group again. Stop. You know what? Lord, I reject that lie. It is my delight to gather with my brothers and sisters. Can we do that? Can you fast from negativity, complaining, pointing fingers? Even when you're depressed. I'm so discouraged. Stop. Just for this week. You could do it for 1 week, guys. Just for this week. Cultivate the truth. I am enough. I am enough. I am enough. Can you just close your eyes and say, I am enough. Come on. God has given me all wisdom, all anointing to walk in truth, to adorn the bride. Next 30 seconds, let's practice this, guys. Next 30 seconds, I want you to adorn Living Hope, this bride of Christ, with the truth. Say it out loud. Living Hope, what do you have to say? Living Hope, you're beautiful. Come on, whatever comes to your mind. Come on, adorn this bride with your words. Come on, adorn this bride of Jesus with your words, with the truth.